morning, everyone. This morning's reading is from Exodus, chapters 15, verses 22 through 27. Then Moses led Israel onward from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the water of Marah because it was bitter. Therefore, it was named Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, and he threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. There the Lord made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them, saying, "If you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, and do that which is right in his eyes, and give heed to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases upon you which I put upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your healer." Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the water. This is the word of the Lord.
Before we listen to God's message for us, let's say a prayer together and ask him to bless us this morning. Please pray with me. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your word, and thank you for the message that you have for each and every one of us this morning. I believe, Father, that you brought us here for a purpose, that you have a purpose for each and every one of us, that you want to meet us exactly where we are. But you also want to challenge us, and we want your word, Father, to transform us and change us. But for that to happen, your spirit needs to be present, and your spirit needs to open our hearts and our lives to receive. So please do that in this moment as we anticipate you, God, speaking to us. In the name of Jesus, amen. There's this story about a guy who was going for a very important job interview in Manhattan, and he was driving, and he was looking for a parking space, but just couldn't find one. And he was getting closer and closer to the time of his appointment, and he was starting to panic. And finally, he decided to pray, and he said, "God, this interview is vital for my future. Please provide me with a parking spot so that I can make it on time." And would you believe it, as he comes around the corner, right in front of the building of the interview, miraculously a spot, you know, just opens up. And as he's pulling into it, he says, "Never mind, God, I found one." Or maybe you've experienced God's provision in one way or another, but then you immediately forgot about his goodness. Or maybe you shifted your focus from what you had just been given to what you didn't have. And needless to say, we all have many concerns, right? About parents, about children, about work, about finances, about health, and on. And it's interesting that when we share joys and concerns, or when I ask for prayer requests, the concerns almost always outweigh the joys. These concerns are, of course, our reality, but they can sometimes dominate our thoughts and our feelings. And it's something we all do, by the way, okay? We all allow concerns to dominate our time and our energy. And there's this phenomenon called the negativity bias. The tendency to pay more attention to negative information than to positive information. We not only register negative stimuli more readily, but we also dwell on these events. We give more weight to negative experiences over neutral or positive experiences. And I'm not saying your concerns are not real, okay? I'm not saying your concerns are not valid. They are real and they are valid. But I want to lead you into the hope we can find as we refocus our relationship with God. So we just read from the Old Testament book of Exodus. And as you know, the Exodus is the story of the Israelites' escape from slavery in Egypt. After 430 years, Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt on their way to the Promised Land. And our passage in chapter 15 comes right after the Israelites have just experienced the miracle of God leading them safely through the Red Sea. God just thwarted their enemies in the most dramatic of ways. And yet so quickly they move from praise to complaint. Maybe they thought, you know, once we are freed from Egypt, it'll be the end of our problems. Maybe that's what they expected. Maybe that's what you and I expect. Maybe we're thinking, you know, if God can only deliver me from this problem or from this situation, then I will be fine and everything will be good. Until the next challenge arrives. Until we experience the next disappointment. So on Ash Wednesday, I introduced the arrival fallacy to those who were here. And it'll be a central theme in my sermons for the rest of Lent. The arrival fallacy is the common human experience of believing that arriving at a certain goal or milestone will bring happiness and fulfillment, only to discover it brings at best temporary satisfaction. If only this could happen, then everything will be fine and then I'll be happy. But we still feel disappointed and unhappy when we get to the next thing. We find we still haven't arrived at our hoped for destination. We're still unfailingly human. We're still flawed. We are still broken. There will always be the next challenge and the next problem. Like the Israelites who were freed from Egypt only to find themselves without drinkable water. We too can find ourselves freed from one trouble only to be met with another. But God invites us to shift perspective and to find our freedom in relationship with Him. Not to be shackled to our circumstances, but to find freedom in our relationship with God. So let me just make 3 points to you today. First of all, what if we can re-remember our deliverance? If we can re-remember our deliverance. I think we can understand how the Israelites moved quickly from praising God for their deliverance to focusing on the problem at hand. I think we can relate to that. There'll always be the next problem to deal with. And it shifts our focus, right? So it says the water was bitter at Mara. And so the people complained and said, Moses, what are we going to drink? Just a short while ago, they experienced God's miraculous rescue, but now they're complaining, well, what are we going to drink? And you know what? God provided for that. And it becomes a theme throughout their journey in the wilderness. Next, they complained to Moses about food. We wish the Lord had killed us in Egypt when we lived there, because when we lived there, at least we could sit down and eat all the bread and meat we wanted. But you've brought us out here into the desert where we are going to stop. And again, God provided for them with bread and meat. And over again, God provides for their needs and calls them to remember their deliverance. So one way in which they combated forgetfulness was to tell the story and to retell the story. Because storytelling is an important element of this remembering in the Jewish tradition. And today we still do that through the church. We remember the sacred stories that shape our lives. And here in the first week of Lent, we mark our journey and we take time to focus on our humanity, to focus on our sinfulness, on the road to the cross. We're not rushing ahead to Easter this morning. We remember and we relive the steps on the way to Easter Sunday. And one way to remember the many ways in which God has saved us is to stay plugged into a faith community, to be continually reminded of His grace and His forgiveness and His plan of salvation through His Son Jesus. It's easy. I mean, it's so easy to forget about God's love, to forget about God's grace and His goodness. But being in church at least helps you to remember how God has saved you. So it's important to re-remember our own deliverance. And secondly, what if we move from transaction to relationship? When the Israelites brought their concern to God, God helped them. He delivered them time after time. But He didn't promise that it was all going to be easy from here on out. And I think we sometimes approach God in a very demanding way, in a transactional way. We say, God, what have you done for me lately? You answered, you know, yesterday's prayer, but what about today? Oh, God, if you do this for me, if you do this for me, then I will do that for you instead. So God invites the Israelites to move from transaction mode into a relationship with Him. To be in relationship with Him in a way that plays out in daily living. And so here at the beginning of Lent, how can we start to make the shift from this is what I want, God, how do I get it, to relationship with God? And you know what? In a relationship, you would say, God, help me understand that a relationship with you means it's not about what I want all the time. It's about what you want for me. And in my relationship with others, it's not about what they can do for me all the time and how they can help me all the time. It's about how can we help each other in relationship. It's about embracing the freedom of life in relationship with God rather than becoming bound or imprisoned by each new challenge that we face. So what if we can re-remember our deliverance? And what if we can move from transaction to relationship? And then what if we can understand that confession gives way to healing? It is confession that gives way to healing. In verse 26, God says, I am the Lord who heals you. He names Himself as our healer. I'm God, your healer. You know, so often we try to simply fix ourselves. So how can we invite God and His healing rather than trying to fix ourselves. It says in verse 23, the Israelites did find water at Marah, but it was bitter. And they couldn't drink it because it was bitter. And so God told Moses to throw a stick of wood into the water, and the water turned sweet. And like the bitter water of Marah, we, you know, what bitterness? What bitterness do you have that prevents you from being able to appreciate how God has actually worked in you? What would it take for us to confess our bitterness? Bitterness about some things that has happened to us in life, or bitterness about a relationship, or thoughts that, you know, God doesn't care. We need to confess our own bitterness, because by confessing it, we will find some healing so that we might better notice and receive the often subtle ways in which God is working in our lives. I've said before that Lent is a time to focus inward, right? It's an opportunity for us to notice our sinfulness, to notice our bitterness. On Ash Wednesday, we remembered our humanity. We are dust, and to dust we shall return. And Lent is also a chance to remember God's working in our lives, to be aware of how God's Spirit is present in the world and also in our lives. It's an opportunity to deepen our relationship with God and turn to God for healing. And I want to encourage you to reflect. Reflect on the many different ways God has provided for you in the past. Are you able to recognize how God has worked in your life in the past week, or in the past month, or maybe in the past year? And an effective way to do that is to journal, right? Write down how God has provided for you, or how he has helped you in a situation, or place the person in your life that represented God's love and care for you, like the guy who fixed the flat tire. And find an opportunity to share your story, to tell of what God has done for you. I remember, you know, when I was struggling with this or that, and how God helped me, or how he provided for me. And this is how he did it, by the way. Share a story of a time you were grateful. Grateful for what God did in your life, or in your family, or in the life of our church. I mean, think about one way or one place where you've noticed the action of God. Now, I'm sure you've all faced many challenges in your life, right? And there have been many challenges for CCD in the past. And you know what? God has provided for our needs. And God has delivered you and provided for you multiple times. No, you did not find that parking spot all by yourself, okay? And you will continue to face challenges, and will have to battle obstacles and deal with problems as you journey through life. And as a church, we will face many more difficulties. But I want you to know that you can trust in God, and you can put your hope in him. And Lent is a time to learn to shift your focus from your problems to a deepening of your relationship with God. Let's remember, he has, and he will continue to provide for us. And may that bring us some freedom from being shackled by our problems all the time. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for your deliverance, especially today as people of faith. We thank you for delivering us and giving us freedom through your Son, Jesus Christ, in whom we have salvation and forgiveness of sins. My prayer is that as we go through this time of Lent and find the opportunity to focus inward and reflect on our relationship with you, that we will see and continue to discover all the many different ways in which you are working in this world, are working in our lives, are working through your people of faith. And may that encourage us as we remember your goodness and your deliverance in the past, that we can put our trust and our hope in you to continue to deliver us today and tomorrow and in the future. We give you praise for that. In the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.